The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. A podcast featuring Elvira Love, Deborah Voith, and Lenora Brightmoon. Three out of the broom closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each episode, they will help you create rituals, cast spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. And now, on with the show.
We are back. I am Elvira, and Lenora Brightmoon is my co-hostess. How are you doing, Lenora?
Oh, it's been an interesting week, but I'm doing all right.
That it has. So our topic is using sigils, and obviously the process is using sigils in magical workings and spell crafting. And so we're going to kind of do a little beginning where we describe what sigils are and what kinds of things can be described as steps to sigil making so that we get an idea. And then from there, between Lenora and myself, we will go to, on our second half, more personal things about sigils and talismans that we have gone and gotten for ourselves or have created and kind of explore more. So I'm going to sort of take the lead right now, and obviously the word sigil can be described as a carved, drawn, or painted symbol that is believed to have magical properties, and it's the art of focusing one's will or intent in order to bring about change. So a lot of different ones have been used, high magic, various cultures, I mean, even back to what would have been, quote, I know they call it prehistoric, but it's also about the use of some things that are very simple and they become understood and utilized for the purpose of drawing the intention of what is being created into manifestation. Obviously, we have a sign represents or points to an idea in a fairly straightforward way. Then we look at a symbol, and it's similar to a sign, but tends to represent something more profound, complex, or abstract, and even may have a hidden meaning or truth. And then, of course, as I said, you get your sigil, which is, you know, something drawn, painted, to create with magical properties or power. Then you kind of go into a seal, which is basically a design that brings, it's a mark that displays an authentic design, demonstrates authority, and a motif is a reoccurring or distinctive form or shape that represents the design in a pattern. And we're kind of going down to design is a thoughtfully organized structure of elements in a work of art. And then an image is a physical likeness or otherwise visual representation of a person, place, thing, or idea. Now, we are using several different things, but a lot of what we're going to be talking about is called sigil magic by Laura Tempest Zarkoff. And it's interesting because I would like to have met her when I was in California, but unfortunately didn't have the time to do so or the availability. But she has perked my interest, and I thought that this might be a focus because obviously sigils have got a lot of different versions and options to look at. So I'm going to turn this over for Lenora to be able to describe or give her thoughts on this. And there you go.
Well, thank you. This was a really interesting topic to me. When we started learning about it, my first interaction was finding a reaction in my body to the idea of having to study sigils. And what I discovered was that I have some trauma that's kind of connected to the chaos sigils, like the way that there's another form of thinking and being and connecting with sigils than Laura's way of doing it. And learning about her way really helped me get through my trauma and learn a different, more balanced approach to what sigils are and how they can help you and be empowered and make changes in your life and create safety and create things that are needed. And I thought it was really, really cool to be able to go through that trauma, come out of it, and then replace it with what she's talking about. And I really enjoy that. So I really like how she's talking about the sigil being a symbol that you assign, you know, a magical power to, and it's between you and what you're doing. And it can be very personal, but it's also for a deep desire that connects with a need. And so you just don't do them randomly. You do it for a purpose. And so it was really cool. I really enjoyed learning about this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know that, you know, when we get into, I know definitions and focuses, and it's basically a symbol of an affirmation. And, you know, it can mean a lot of things. It's neither good nor bad. Again, the symbol is one thing, but then, or the sigil, but when you put meaning and focus and intent and choose a way for it to go, that's where you add pluses or minuses. And, but I think that's true in any kind of magical working. You know, we obviously utilize a lot of things for the ability to make something happen. And I know that when Laura produced this, there's, you know, steps that she gave. And I found that everything that she's talking about really helped me look at anything that you create. I mean, you formulate an intention. So it's an intention as to what your goal is, your desire. And I mean, we do that with spell work. We do that with candles. We do that with the different things that we, you know, make in terms of magical workings. But it's also, take it to, you know, we're going to crochet a rug versus I'm going to, you know, sew up a purse or something. But it's your definition. It's what you want it for. What is your desire? And then you have to create the actual symbol. And that has many methods. You know, you can write it. You can eliminate then the vowels and repetitive. And then you transform the letters into a symbol. That's one of the more simplistic ways. Then you, I mean, this is, there are other versions of this we'll get into later about how you create the symbol or what the combination of symbols that you put together. But then you have to charge it. And that's, you know, charging it with energy. So just as you would a candle or a talisman, you visualize your desired outcome, focus on that. And then some people like to burn the sigil and let it go away and happen, do the energy. Some, they just like to keep it or place it somewhere. And then, you know, activated sigils are used in many different ways to get what you're looking for to start to manifest. And you can either keep it permanently or you can, again, once you've achieved what you want, you can burn it and let it go. As far as, you know, different types of sigils, there are personal ones, which we, again, we'll discuss later. There's archangel sigils. There are ancient sigils that are symbols from, you know, different cultures, different organizations and deities and spirits. They all kind of have this sort of like energy pattern. Did you want to add something more about background of the sigils and things of that nature, Lenora?
I found it interesting how she was saying, you know, basically thought. So what you assign, what you understand, she had a section where she had words and you could put down what your symbol for those words would be. and it was interesting, like happiness, joy, things that are abstract, and it's what symbol to you would represent that. And it's helping you understand your own language mm-hmm. and your connection to, you know, a drawn piece versus what you assign the meaning to. Mm-hmm. And I found that really fascinating and challenging in certain perspectives, because I know the words, but how do you represent that in a symbol? It was very interesting.
That's true. That's true. I mean, well, for instance, and this gets to, you know, the other part that I mean, it can be very convoluted. So we're going to, you know, there's a lot of things about different symbols that have specific meanings that then you can utilize to put together. But one of the things that comes to mind is the scales, you know, of justice. As you've got that, it is a symbol with its very own separate meaning of justice. It can also mean balance, but it is used a lot in many ways. And of course, we can go back to, you know, even Egypt and where the scales of Ma'at and the, you know, the weighing of the heart against the feather and, you know, the whole process is part of symbology, sigils, and then what it is that you want to have as an outcome. And it was fascinating because I started to get kind of lost in all the symbols. I was like, oh my God, and there's this one and this one and this one. And I think you and I talked briefly about the cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the four-armed cross versus the short and long.
Right.
Cross.
And would you like to say something about that? Because I know you were very profound about it when you were talking with me.
Yeah. So I got into a conversation with my teacher when I was starting to study this, and we talked about the cross from my traditional background, and I, you know, our Savior dying on it and what it represents in the short and the long time and dimension, and then looking at that and comparing it to the four, the equal cross, the equal arm cross, which was used in during the Crusaders and different things like that, and equality in the four sections and earth, air, water, fire. It represents a bunch of different things. And it was just so interesting to me to see how much symbolism versus what I've seen throughout my lifetime in different mm-hmm. studies and stuff, and being able to put all that together. Because the cross was a huge part of my growing up. And so that was an interesting thing to see the symbolism come across. And I was like, oh, that's time and dimension. That's so interesting mm-hmm. to me mm-hmm. And what it can represent. And so even the Native Americans, they have the circle with the four, and they have the four different colors, and it represents earth, wind, you know, earth, air, water, fire, and the different directions, and just so many things all combined into just the simplicity of circle and the cross.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, we have, you know, an arrow is a line with a chevron at one end, and, you know, the other end sometimes has another one going opposite, doing different things. So they're talking about, she's, you know, you use that as a way to point. And, you know, it depends on the direction, if it's up or it's to the right or the left or below. And when paired, obviously, you know, in certain ways, it starts to have specific meanings. And I know that obviously, because of the arrow being something that we look at as we point it and we send it off, it is part of another, you know, way to use that symbol in a sigil to put the energy to go forward. And I found some of the, you know, the ways she describes not just the symbol, but the versions of the symbol. I mean, I personally am very fond of the spiral, and it's one of the more simplistic symbols for labyrinths until they started getting, you know, into different symbols they put in a format that, though it became part of a large version of on the ground, you walk it, you experience it. but it is, you know, a symbol where if you have it going to the right, it is going inward, and then to the left, it's going outward. It has a way of also moving energy. So even just drawing that as a sigil for energy movement is profound. And the one we know very much in the pagan tradition are the circle, which is the full moon, with the two crescents, either, you know, towards or not, but usually it's representing the waxing and waning moon. But it is also something that is used to bring in energy, increase or decrease energy. And depending on what your statement, your intent is, how you create it. I like how she talks about, you put it as a sentence, what it is you're looking to define and go for. And then you look for the symbols to represent that.
Yeah, the way that she describes how to make a sigil is awesome. Mm-hmm. Very easy to follow.
Yes, yes. Do you have any other thoughts about the different symbols? I know that there are a lot of them. You know,
there was a whole lot of them. I found it really fascinating because some of them, the way that she describes them, I knew, and some I didn't, and then some I had extra that she didn't describe. So, you know, and again, signed meaning is what you give a symbol. It can be between you and what you decide it means for you. Hence the idea of her talking about creating your personal symbols, and maybe it doesn't mean anything to anybody else. I thought it was fascinating that regardless of how many there are or whether you assign the same or a different meaning to it, as soon as it's created between the creator and the magic that they're putting behind it, or the assigned meaning, it starts. Like, it doesn't need to be invoked. It's, you're literally creating it as you're thinking it and as you're drawing it. And so that is all that's needed, and that's it. You're literally bringing it to life, and you don't need someone else to understand it for it to work. If I'm going to use my personal symbol to help someone protect their home because it's the one I use for my home, they don't have to understand it. It'll just work. So it's just interesting.
Right. I think that's why that's why I feel the way that she has presented it has brought, you know, when she talks about, you know, it's modern witchcraft. It's modern. It works with what we have right here, right now. And I feel that it has a lot of power behind it, even though we may not always know how it's going to have it, you know, how it's moving to have the outcome, but you realize how powerful these are that you create. And I found it, you know, again, I was very impressed. I thought, you know, she talks about, you know, the use of numbers, and, you know, we talk about the actual written number. We talk about them in the Roman numerals. You can create designed sigils with these, along with even the astrological symbols that are set up. And, you know, it started to have this, it sort of moved into one layer, and then, because it starts with points and lines, and then specific ways lines are made, and then you kind of move forward, and then you start with all these other added situations to build layers. And, I mean, as I said, I got introduced to her through some different experiences and found that literally I started doing sigil drawing I never had the book. I just started looking at certain things and putting them together, things that, you know, over the years of study, you know, but then it was like a whole art form. So it's not just spell crafting. It's an art form in itself of spell crafting. So, and, you know, there are different systems that are part of that. And do you have something you want to add?
So, what I was noticing when I was reading her book, she talks about the person who did the foreword. She talks about, you know, spells the spellcrafting and going into sigils, the sigils have a job to do. Mm-hmm. And for me, I was reflecting on the idea that a job to me over my very long journey of life has, I've learned for me, job is joy of being. So it's interesting mm-hmm. to me that a sigil takes on a joy of being, takes on a job to do, mm-hmm. Isn't just there to look pretty, but actually do something. And mm-hmm. again, change in our environment, because that's what we do. but it's such a neat way to bring the symbolism into a sigil that will do something for you for a deep desire mm-hmm. that you have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. And that's very, it, you know, you can do different things to create a desired outcome. And of course, you know, what are the uses for sigils in the witchcraft area? And of course, she very specifically says it can be for healing, banishing, binding, unbinding, cleansing, attracting, protecting, fertility, prosperity, love, friendship, partnership, glamour, divination, and on and on. And that's, you know, and then there's the, again, then you have the things that you can bind people, you can do bindings, you can do things of that nature. As much as the positive side, there is the negative side. And depending on your focus, your purpose, and your desire, mm-hmm. that's the other part of the fluid.
Yeah, it's direction of the user for sure. About who is creating the sigil and what they're creating it for, between them and what they're assigning. And there's no right or wrong way to do it. Clearly, I've had some trauma around the more negative chaos way, either mm-hmm. experiencing being the target of that or someone around me. I'm not still exactly sure, but I'm glad that I got to kind of push through that and learn some different ways of being more balanced with sigils and stepping into the empowerment of what is a positive way you could use it.
Right.
So I've been enjoying learning that, what symbols mean to me. And this is a really interesting rabbit hole, because there's no right or wrong, because you get mm-hmm. to assign it and it works for you mm-hmm. because you're the one that created it. So it doesn't take anybody else's acknowledgement or agreement or disagreement for this to be real, for this to be part of you. So it was really fascinating.
Good. Yeah. It does. It presents it as, I think for me, it sounds like, as for you, it's a way of a real personal empowerment process, as opposed to a bunch of different things that you do that do create empowerment or power. But this has such I almost want to say primal, because it goes to simple. It is complex, but it starts with simple. And, you know, I think one of the things that she talked about, and I remember, is you remember when you were little, you would do the hand that was the turkey
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the with the paint and everything. I think every kid, my daughter, me, my granddaughter, they're all have had that experience, but it's that energy of what that hand is and what it can create, and out of that creating another piece of the puzzle of creating a sigil, because that's very simple. That is your hand, your print, and thus from there you add different things to it. So it can start out so simple and then grow. I like the idea of what sigil making becomes for each of us, not just dealing with ancient traditions, which I honor. And I have, you know, in all of my, you know, wanderings, I have used, you know, the Seals of Solomon, the different archangel sigils, things of that nature that have had a long history of use and created in specific structure. But there's a part that sort of presents the fact that we want to draw on our own power.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting because this is something that doesn't require a coven to do. So independent witches can easily do this for themselves and empowerment and not need anyone with them or feeding this to do it. So I found that very interesting as I was studying it.
Yes, and I think that at this point, we might want to take a pause since we are getting ready for our commercial break. And then when we come back, we can talk more about things that are, excuse me, personal ones that we have created or that have been for people that we have worked for and worked with. So, Nagashiva, break us away, please.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance that brings you the best in hoodoo, conjure, witchcraft, rootwork, new thought, spiritualism, and pagan ways. Our shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, live on Sundays from 3 to 4:30 Pacific Time. Crystal Silence League Hour, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, and the Now You Know Show. All these shows are available as audio podcasts via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and at YouTube, where we make daily video uploads. Please like and subscribe at youtube.com/LuckyMojoCurioCo. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, makers of handcrafted spiritual supplies and offering the widest selection of magical herbs and roots, plus hundreds of free web pages filled with spellcasting tips and fortune telling techniques. Our shop is located in Forestville, California, and we sell retail and wholesale online at LuckyMojo.com.
I love that. It never gets old. It energizes me. So we're going to delve in, and I'm going to sort of put this on Lenora as to jump off on this, is personal experiences with sigils, and anything she wishes to share about making them or utilizing them or what they are. So go for it, Lenora.
Okay. So, I grew up with the sigil of the cross, which is a sigil, and I still use that to this day because that is something that I can incorporate. It's also, it has new meaning for me since I learned that the, for me, the straight up and down line of the cross is dimension, and the sideways bar of the cross is time for me. And so that is interesting. And then I actually came into contact with the witch's knot. And that is a symbol of the necklace that I wear now, which is sterling silver. And I love it because it's four circles and a perfect square all combined to make, you know, for me, a square, the circle, and then of course in the middle is the circle with the spirit. And for me, it's all four elements. It's earth, water, fire, air, and then spirit in the middle. And then also the square represents earth to me. So to me, a square is earth and a circle is spirit. So you've got the perfect union of spirit and earth, or, you know, otherworldly and earth. And then I've got four moons on mine, two above and two below, black and white. So as above, so below. And it's just, it's fascinating to me because the moon, the square, and the circle are all part of that, along with the dot in the middle. And so that is something that I found it and I did not know what it meant. So here's the interesting thing. All I did was I saw it and I said, that is mine. And I have no clue why. And I did lots of research on it when I got home and I went, oh, wow. So it's something that used to be etched onto boats when they would go out to sea for protection. It was etched onto houses as protection. It let witches know who other witches were. It let people know that there was a midwife in, you know, one of us, basically, mm-hmm. in the home, when it was etched on the home as well, mm-hmm. when people were looking for help and magical support. So it's really interesting. Apparently, I have a lot of past life connection with that, because that symbol popped up. And then when I did research, it was the square, the circle, and the moon. And the moon, to me, is also a huge thing about the triple goddess. And the moon stone in the middle of mine, you know, is connection to Isis and the moon and the moon goddess in the ways that I knew without knowing. Mm-hmm. and so this became my power symbol of protection, connection, and understanding.
Wow. That's it. It happens. It's like it called you as much as you found it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting, because when we were discussing this before the show, a couple of things like this came up. And I had always been drawn to the lemniscus, or the sidewards figure eight. And of course, in the Hindu tradition and Buddhism, and you've got the Dorje, or the double Dorje. So it's got, you know, these infinity sign parts to it. And I kind of went, oh, this is really kind of calls me. And so at the time I was married to this gentleman who also was part of my life as working in a metaphysical store that we put together. And he was a jeweler. And he basically made me this infinity sign, but twisted with gold and silver as being the cord that goes back, you know, in the infinity sign way. So, you know, gold and silver, masculine, feminine. But it was interesting, because I knew it for many things, for movement and, you know, all of these different things. But I sat, and I was just now, before we got on the show, I looked up and found that Laura had the infinity sign in two different ways. But it basically is stability and movement is what it represents. And that was what I was in the middle of coming into, and have consistently been part of my journey, is finding the stability plus movement. And so I thought, well, that certainly is something that speaks to me. And I've had different symbols, thus become sigils, that have called to me over the years, but that one has been the one of the state, very much like yours. And I think it's our grounding element. It's what we are, what we came in this time with. So, and I think that's the other part, is what calls to you as a symbol. You know, what is it that moves you as an individual as much as what is a sigil? It's personal, but then when you start working, for instance, you know, for someone and they need something, then you need to find where they are. Because part of it is, if you're making a talisman or you're making it into a drawing that will then be part of a spell bag or something of that nature, it's finding out what their core philosophies, meaning, come in. Or just as we said when we started, is how do you do a spell? How do you make it into spell casting? How do you create it into moving you into the intent that you want to manifest? And, you know, I get the interest of, it can start simple and it can become very complex. I've noticed that a lot of Laura's sigils she will put out on her Facebook page. And depending on what's going on, and as we know, there's much going on right now, she's come up with some very powerful ones. And there was one that, back 2 years ago, that she created, and it was, you know, sigil to protect against fear. And I was impressed with it, so much so that I redrew it and have it in my day timer that I carry with me. Just because there are moments when you create shifts and changes in your life, whether it's what I did, which was move from California to Arkansas, or start a new job, or close down something and start to redefine your life, that it becomes necessary for something like that to be part of what you are able to take care of, is, you know, to take care of that fear of the unknown and what's changing. So I think she's been a really interesting person to follow her work, and has really, for me, been able to give another dimension to what I learned about, you know, sigils and sigil making and everything. So it's been a real journey for me to have this as a subject matter for us to talk about. So
I agree. It's been very enlightening, and I'm really excited to go down this rabbit hole because it opens up a whole new world of what I can do.
Yes. Yes. You know, I used to go to, when I had a beach to go to, because here I don't have a beach. I might have a lake or a creek or a river to go to the shore of, but the beach was amazing because I would sit out, and the last husband that I had, only he passed away, but the last husband, we'd go to the beach, and I would just arbitrarily, I'd get this stick, and I just start writing these things, you know, and it didn't matter. It wasn't about words. I just start doing lines and drawings and stuff. And he'd watch me and he'd look at me and he'd think, I could tell it was like, what on earth have I got myself into? And at that point, I would do it and then the water would come and take it away. And I would just keep doing this. And it was out of the energy that was coming through. And it didn't necessarily mean I knew specifically that I'm doing this for so-and-so, for this and this, but a lot of it was for the energies that were occurring in our world and in my personal world with this person and all the things. But it was fun. I mean, I just let go and did that. It was so awe-inspiring. And now I think back on that and go, I want a beach to do that on.
I used to do with the sparklers, when you can write mm-hmm. really fast in the air. Mm-hmm. And you can do the same thing with incense, write it as it's burning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm an air sign, so I love doing that. That's one of my favorite things to do. Let it go up into the space, but time and space is very much where I kind of sit. So it's really neat. There's so many different ways to get that energy.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And that's the part that I find intriguing and exciting, because it gives us an ability to take an empowering step into something that we are doing. And again, as you say, you mean covens and groups are really important in a lot of our lives at different times. But there's a lot of time that you're in the middle of just being in your life with just you or the circumstances. And this, I think, gives a much better way of moving yourself through things, even if it's just what you think is doodling. Because we doodle, they're lines, circles, squares, stars, you name it, we'll create that. And then we look at it and go, oh my gosh, you know? And then suddenly you can actually go, well, I think I'll take the line from that asterisk and go down to this circle. And that, you know, and you start doing the connection. And it's spirit leading you as much as it's you calling on spirit to come in to you.
Yeah, I agree. And in school, I was in the special ed program, And they would encourage us in my program, they would encourage us to doodle because that is actually using your brain on multiple levels. Mm-hmm. So instead of seeing it as distracting behavior, they saw it as using multiple parts of the brain at the same time, listening mm-hmm. to the teacher while doodling and creating. And I think as kids, we're naturally attracted to that, but it gets slapped down when you're in a normal environment where you're told to pay attention, that you can't doodle, that mm-hmm. that it appears to them as not the norm or not fitting mm-hmm. in the box. Mm-hmm. But we all have that creative ability at some point. I really do think so. And it gets shut down when we get into our school system.
It does. It does. And it's interesting because sometimes we have family members who don't fit the box. And then in our society, we need to work with them and the structures to balance it out. But, when maybe we were growing up, it wasn't as, people didn't notice it. They didn't want to notice it. So they kind of, turned themselves into another side to do it. But again, at some point, structure changes for us and we suddenly see something different. And I think most of us who have gone through structured learning go through structure, then we spend our time rebelling against structure. And then what we do is we find the path that we want, we come onto that gives us the ability to, again, create in ways like this. I think that this process of creating sigils is very, and when she says modern, I understand it's not necessarily like new agey modern. It's just, it's taking it from structured traditions,
yes,
and opening it to fluidity.
Yes. And I think that as a healer, someone who comes from a healer background, that working with sigils and learning this and learning what she teaches for Laura, I mean, it's going to be an amazing healing for a lot of people because mm-hmm. we were pulled out of that. And so what this does is give you a chance to heal that inner child and say, hey, it's okay to doodle. It's okay to create something. It's okay. And look, it works. Mm-hmm. So sigils are not just an empowerment, but also a healing tool as well for those of us who have been through some trauma as when we were younger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the reason why this topic, I mean, when we were discussing the topic, I realized that one, we are on a certain medium that if we were doing lectures, we could sit there and draw and we would have different, visuals that we could point to or incorporate. Whereas this is done with, a lot of the discussion we're doing. And, you can see certain things when we talk about like a dot or a circle or a zigzag or, a square. Which is good because, again, those words then have a visual that have been attached to it for so long, we can go there. But then there are things that are different that you start working with. And maybe it becomes a zigzag with a wavy line crossing over it or something. So that those meanings incorporate into sigil making in this format. So that I keep seeing it as layers. We start out with something, a simple circle or square or triangle or whatever, and then we add the different things because our sentence or our intention starts with beginning, middle, and end, and we layer that together. So it's just like we do with rituals. I mean, we start with creating our sacred space and taking it out from the normal world. And then we add different elements. And then we call on different spirits, deities. And then we go into these other levels. So it's the same principle. It's just with more of our own being expressed. And I find that this has been, you know, not just reading her book, but taking and looking at what this creates in the world and seeing how I have used it or how you have found ways to utilize it, even when you didn't necessarily know that's what you might be doing.
Yeah, it's a very powerful manifestation tool. Mm-hmm. Huge, because it forms as you're creating it. It becomes existence. You're literally pulling from the idea, from the abstract, and putting it into a physical practicality. Mm-hmm. And that is very fast and very empowering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, I mean, going back over some of the history of the different cultures, if you take a structure like, okay, I make a sigil out of a triangle, and then I put a circle inside of that, and then I create two crescent moons that go on either side of the triangle, and then you take it as a motif and you repeat it over and over and over again, what you're doing is it's like taking 2 × 10 or 3 × 40 or something, you're multiplying that. And sometimes it's for a specific purpose, or sometimes you leave it as like you make that as a motif that goes in front of your house, and people look at it and they go, oh, how pretty that is. And you're looking at it smiling, going, that's my protection ward against weirdos and people that are out there. So it has a different way of utilizing it other than just doing it on a piece of paper. As far as where we go from here, I would probably tell you that the most important thing for after we've, you know, found our intention, obviously, and then we go to, you know, what our tools are, you know, how we make something and how we function with, you know, different things. I mean, they talk about art tools and things like that. But then, you know, how personal is this and where are we and how we create it so it becomes personal? And I think that some of them are called devotional sigils, and those are exactly that, are meant to be a personal connection or a kind of contract between you and a spirit or deity. And that can be any number of deities that you're talking about, or spirits or archangels or any of that. And when you draw out the sigil, you are at that point, you're forming an evocation. And depending on obviously the spirit or the energy you're working with and your purpose as to what you're going to utilize it for.
The way that she describes doing a sigil, okay, she, you know, asks for you to define the goal or identify the problem. So we were talking mm-hmm. about how you need to have a reason, like you need to have it to be able to do something. So a deep desire and a need. So she's saying define that goal or identify the problem, and then brainstorm a list of what is needed to accomplish your goal or solve your problem. So that's interesting. So this is all the abstract part we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And then designing your sigil, which is pulling in your symbols. So from those lists, you can look at those words and then look at the symbols that you would assign to that for representation, and then move them around, and then applying your sigil. And then you have to acknowledge that it's necessary. So it's really interesting the way that she describes it. It sounds simple, but it's work. You have to put yourself into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely. And like a lot of things, I know that as we start the process, and sometimes it, I guess if I were sitting there and it's something that I suddenly got stymied on, or I'm kind of like, what is it that is stopping me or making me frustrated or upset? It's the part of the process that is challenging our abilities to follow through on what you're going to, you know, need to do to make the sigil, to construct it, and then to empower it. Because I know that sometimes I get stuck, and I get stuck in areas that are more my challenge, not the process that I'm in. So it's giving me a need for me to back off and move the obstacle so I can continue with what I'm doing. So it's both a personal thing on making a personal sigil, but it's also your personal spiritual growth and journey too.
Yeah. I, you know, when we were studying this, I was told be able to fill in the what, the when, the where, the why, and the how for sigils. Mm-hmm. And so that was an interesting template to look at. Okay, so when do you use a sigil, right? So we had a conversation about that. Well, when there's a deep desire and a need, that's what she explains. And so it was really interesting. You know, where is anywhere, anytime. There's, you don't have to go by a moon phase. There's nothing that you have to do. You just need, you know, how do you do it? You need a pen and a paper. You know, you need to be able to draw. You need to be able to write out, brainstorm, you know, create physically. Very empowering, she says, to make sure that you trace your symbol for, so someone who's new, not just writing it, but also tracing it either in the air or with your finger or another pen or whatever it is. But that is your muscle memory when you do that versus your muscle memory when you type it. So for a lot of us who are more modern, we're like, oh, we're going to type it. We're going to get our laptops. We're going to do this. We're going to, this is really going back old school because your brain needs to go a different direction in order to bring that energy from abstract to concrete and put your energy into it. So that was, it was just really interesting, all of that, because we are so modern and we want to go a different direction.
I know. And it's funny because over the years and years and years, you say that about, you know, being, we get into something and we, you know, type it on a computer or whatever, but if you actually write down, or as you say, trace it in the air, do that, that, as you say, the muscle memory, it creates that connection to stay with you, as opposed to, well, it's on my computer or my tablet or this, or, you know, whatever. And I know I've used that for so long when I work with clients and I take notes and I, you know, work with them in that level. It puts it in there and I can access it as well. And when I need it, and it comes there, it may not be immediate, but it'll come in. And the same thing is true with the sigils, especially when you created it and then you reinforce it. So, but at this point, I think we need to do our closing, our wrap up. Is there anything that you want to say before I start that?
Just that I've enjoyed this rabbit hole, and I hope that all of you out there get a chance to go down that rabbit hole too and go explore her book and her Facebook page. It's quite amazing to learn about all this. So as a new witch, I'm very excited.
And as an old witch, I am just as excited. So it goes to be said that way. So obviously, if you want to get in touch with Lenore, you would go to www.lenorebrightmoon.com. For me, you can go to www.readersandrootworkers.org or www.missionaryindependent.org or www.milk-and-honey.com. And then there's my own website, www.elvira.com. And that is E-L-V-Y-R-A. And so at this point, that would be our closing on how to get us from one place to another and find us. And then as we go, our final kind of explosion of information is that we will be, our next show will be working with familiar spirits, and that will be with Deb and myself. And is there anything that you want to put in for the last few minutes about how to connect with you or where we can find, you know, there's other things that I know you do as well.
LenoraBrightmoon.com is definitely one you can find me at. And InnerSelfTransformation.com is another one that you can find my website at as well for the healing side of what I do.
Okay. All right. Well, I know that it's about time. So I thank all of those that have been out there listening. And I definitely thank you, Lenora and Nagashiva, who have been very instrumental in putting this together. And I will say it's time for us to let Nagashiva do our closing. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs on Thursdays and is available for download. Plus, we're uploading them weekly as YouTube videos. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website at witchpriestessandcauldron.com. That's witchpriestessandcauldron.com. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.